You know what I'm saying? I'd Friday night light her ass up.
Wow.
Know what that means?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means. Hi, welcome to the Dollar Bin. This is Brian. For some reason, I'm hosting. To my left is Danny. Danny, say hello.
The word of the day is nonsensical. Remember it.
That is a good word.
I know.
To his left, I just did something to this iPod. I'm breaking Sean's equipment. Sean, say hello.
Hi, it's Sean here. That's actually Adam, so go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. And to her left is Shaka.
Indeed.
And to his left is Adam, who may or may not speak.
Which is probably for the best.
He's not.
Today's episode, unlike some of the other epics that Adam has been posting recently, it's probably going to be like a hodgepodge, a callback to some of our previous shows where we just sat on someone's couch and rambled about comic stuff.
What?
With that in mind, anybody read anything good this week?
I haven't picked my books up in 2 weeks, so.
You son of a bitch.
I did read the Silver Surfer Galactus graphic novel from 1990. That was really good, but. Hey, you asked. You didn't say from this decade.
You're right.
Or this century. You said, did you read anything good? And that's what I read that was good.
Maybe you said this week.
You are correct.
But you read it this week, so.
You are correct. Mm-hmm. I did not specify a time frame. You could have reread your favorite Stephen King novel, and I would have had to accept it as what you read.
Right. Of course you would.
What about you, Sean? Anything tickle your fancy this week? Fancy your tickle?
What did I read this week? I think I've only read the two comics that out of like the four that I bought. I read Buffy, but okay. And I read Daredevil. It was great as usual.
You're reading, this is Buffy, is this the season 10 still?
Season 9, I think it's season 9.
Or whatever.
Freefall?
What do you think about that format to continue television storylines? Because now other TV shows are doing it. You have X-Files has jumped in, and it's supposed to be continuing where that series died. And something else big was announced to continue their TV series recently.
I don't know. They've been talking about doing Pushing Daisies forever. I don't think that's ever going
to
happen, though.
It wasn't Pushing Daisies, but there's some other big TV show has announced to be finishing. And NBC Universal digitally has announced a bunch of their old properties that they are still holding on to. They're going to do a Knight Rider, a Miami Vice.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
And Punky Brewster.
Oh, yeah.
They're
okay.
Just doing them digitally, but it's going to be regular comic format and it's supposed to be in continuity with however that series went.
What's the fucking continuity on Punky fucking Brewster, really? Is somebody going to read that and go, I don't remember her ever wearing that color dress before?
Is it the Punky Brewster from the cartoon with the weird creature in her closet? Or is it the Punky Brewster from the live action?
You had me at Knight Rider. You had me at Miami Vice. You lost me at Saved by the Bell. And you really lost me with Punky fucking
Brewster. I'm just disappointed I'm not writing the Miami Vice one.
You should be writing Punky Brewster.
I'd like to write Punky's adult adventures because Slay Moon Fry grew up hot.
Awkward.
Yeah, no, I like that they're continuing shows in comics. They don't have to worry about budgets, and they can just tell a fun story however they choose to tell it.
I think it's an interesting tactic, and I'm surprised it took this long to get to, because it seems to me like that would be an easy crossover to try to get more butts in the seats. Because there's no doubt, like, if you've worked in a comic book shop, or frequently hang out in one, which all of us can link to one of those two, or both, people come in just for Whedon stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that has drawn them into comics. His Buffy stuff and him doing other things have made them come in to buy comic stuff. And once you get them in the store, you know, maybe you get something else.
I think a lot of times companies don't want to relinquish any kind of rights because they're scared that they're not going to make as much money as they possibly can. And they'd rather not make any than just a little because they want to milk it for as much and kind of, if they can maybe go on and have another season or another movie, they don't want to, I guess, waste it on another form.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of hard to know when something's dead, too. Like, you don't want to wait too long to do something like a comic, because if you're already in the ground and they're shoveling dirt on you, then can you rejuvenate it to do your comic book? But if there's still life in it, you know, like Netflix, when we came in, Sean was watching Arrested Development. Netflix is already running a season of Arrested Development and apparently have paid or trying to sign them up to do another season already. And that, you know, is kind of resuscitating corpse. A little bit, but with Netflix and things like that, maybe, you know, streaming channels can start resurrecting old TV shows that had a following, just not enough for whatever crappy time slot Fox gave it the first time.
Well, it could be a contractual issue also. I mean, those contracts that they use are they're not like a standardized thing where, you know, sometimes you get tied up in those things, and maybe they want to do something with X-Files before this point, but because they had an agreement with Topps, it may have had, you know, there may be stipulations on it. There could be things going on with Chris Carter. You know, that kind of stuff.
So. A lot of times your contracts end up being different things because, like, when Kickstarter was invented, you know, everyone flooded Nathan Fillion and Josh Whedon and all those guys. They, why don't you just buy Serenity and kickstart it and make a new TV show and movies and stuff? And they all had to say, hey, we don't own it. You know, NBC Universal would have to sell it to us.
And if we tell them that we want it, they will charge us out the ass for it.
And even though, and entertainment is the kind of business that just because you don't plan on doing anything with it doesn't mean you're going to let somebody else.
Yeah, the property is worth stuff because somebody wants it, not necessarily because, you know, you can do anything with it.
Shocker, what about you? Did you read anything this week that really hit you in that sweet spot?
I was going to say Daredevil. Sean said that. But I really like the artist on that, Rodriguez. I'm not sure if he's done anything else.
Really been switching between.
Yeah, I don't think, was it like Javier Rodriguez or something? I don't think I've seen him.
Yeah,
is that still Wade that's writing it?
Yeah, it's still Mark Wade.
Both of you guys still really digging Daredevil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Daredevil's fantastic. But it's been Chris Samnee and Paulo Rivera for a while. I don't remember this new guy.
I haven't been reading Daredevil. About the only thing I've been checking Marvel is I bought the first two trades to Hawkeye.
Another fantastic book.
Yeah, surprisingly really like that book. To relay it though, what I was telling somebody the other day when I was at the store talking about it is that book seems to me like it's Marvel's pitch to like the USA Network for a television show about one of their non-superhero characters. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that like as a positive. Like that doesn't have to be about, that book doesn't have to be about Hawkeye. Like he barely uses the bow and arrows and there's barely superhero people in it except the superhero people he's like sleeping with. That book could be about just like, it could be an indie superhero book. It could be an regular indie book. It seems like kind of a pitch for a TV show.
Has he even put on the costume?
No, this is whenever
he's in the costume
out of the
for one of the scenes where like he and Wolverine and Spider-Man are in like a page together.
Yeah.
And he's just complaining about being beat up and wants to take a break. That's the only time I think he's been in the Hawkeye suit.
Yeah, that's kind of like the point of the book is like this is his time. When he's not being in, like,
and even
Avenger.
Kate's Hawkeye costume is not really a costume. She's been dressed up a couple of times, but she's not like wearing quintessential superhero gear.
Yeah,
I think that book's really interesting. I thought the issue with where they tried to write it and draw it from the dog's perspective was a really interesting idea and really cool, and that seemed like a really indie thing.
That's been getting a lot of talk.
People love Pizza Dog.
Yeah.
But Pizza Dog's, spoilers, apparently Pizza Dog's gone now. Like, they made him a star, and now he and Kate are off of the West Coast.
West Coast?
We don't necessarily have a book to talk about, but there was some interesting news in the comic book world, and we're coming up on San Diego, which is always has a plethora of non-interesting and interesting news. One thing that I was really interested in this week, because I'm a big fan of his, is George Perez officially announcing that his DC contract was not only over, but that he was going to sign a new exclusive account with Boom Studios.
That is pretty surprising.
I thought it was really surprising because he's been such a figure of hardcore mainstream superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's done some independent stuff, and some of it's well known because of its weirdness more than its quality or its success.
Crimson Plague. Weird book.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting sign, number one, that Boom is interesting in continuing to grow, not just like Boom's always been growing by snagging properties and trying to have things that they could point to that this is our content. But they've also, now it seems like they're interested in also, well, here are the people we have working for us too. And they haven't always been that way before. Like, Mark Waid seemed like their tentpole of, here's our big name person, and Waid is left now, so maybe they're going to start trying to shuffle in some more names.
Yeah, I mean, and they just recently acquired Arkea.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to kind of push what they're doing.
And, you know, Mouse Guard could be a really big thing for them.
Yeah. I mean, they really, it seems like they really took a big hit after all the kind of Disney stuff left.
We've had some really nice contact with Boom before at Heroes Con and really like some of the people that work for them.
Yeah.
So we've always had interest in what they were doing. I was really worried about them losing the Disney stuff because that was a really easy source of income for them.
Yeah.
You don't have to do as big a sell job for DuckTales that you do for, you know, something that's completely brand new and may not have a super well-known writer or artist either. So I was worried when they lost that kind of stuff. I mean, I think they're a good company. I think they have really good people in charge and really good people in their marketing. So I've always kind of hoped that they would take that next step. And sadly, you know, with getting your name out there and getting people interested in your stuff, a lot of time that next step is who do you have working for you?
Yeah.
Because it'll get you noticed. And if you don't have a property, you know, Marvel has 12 X-Men book and 12 Avengers books, because when somebody goes to the shelf and they see Avengers or X-Men, then if they have any interest in that, they'll automatically notice it. You know, same reason why there's 12 Batman books.
Yeah.
When you're an independent, you don't necessarily have a property that'll do that every week. But if you, you know, sometimes if you have a property that people recognize, and then sometimes if they have a name that you'll recognize. So, I mean, getting George Perez is interesting. It could be a big deal for them. What I found interesting in the interview was they made a deal with Baltimore Comic Con to make an official announcement about what his first work is going to be.
Huh.
So I thought, number one, that was cool that Baltimore gets that and not San Diego.
Yeah.
But number two, also that they're moving kind of quickly, and he specifically said that he will probably do some covers and things for them before his first real work will be out there, in order to help generate buzz about him being with them and the product. I mean, if you're going to sign somebody like Perez, that's exactly, you know, I hate to say this, but how much would somebody pay for an Adventure Time George Perez cover?
Yeah.
And people are going crazy for those variant covers as they are. Yeah, but, you know, really stuff good. Like that, stuff like that can only help them.
Speaking of absolutely nothing, did you read the, I'm coming out left field with it. Did you read the Batman 66?
Not yet.
Okay. Because I've been hearing a lot of stuff. I'm curious, but I haven't heard anybody who's, like, read it.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to track it down yet. I've been looking at the toys because I'm 12, but I haven't tracked down the book yet. I don't have a ton of interest in that. I don't know. That's just, I have memories from my childhood about that being Batman or whatever. And I don't have any sort of sour taste in my mouth that people will say, oh, not serious Batman. Oh, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Frank Gorshin, they could prop him out of the grave right now and tell me that he's playing Riddler in the next Batman movie, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I haven't. When they announced it, I didn't have a tremendous amount of interest just because...
I think that's why people have been attracted to it, because, I mean, Batman is typically dark, and so, like, a fun Batman is fun to read sometimes.
Well, you know, like the cartoon stuff. Batman Brave and the Bold was a really fun TV show.
Excellent.
And even Batman the Animated Series had some darkness, but it was still, you still had the sidekicks, and you still had, you know, him fighting crazy things and puns and stuff like that too. I think that, you know, as much as I like the Christopher Nolan stuff, and as much as I like serious Batman things, man, there's always going to be people who their Batman is going to be more fun than that.
Yeah.
So when you go, when the only Batman you're offering is Joker with his half of his face missing, trying to kill everybody, and, you know, yet another Robin dying, yeah, and all of that kind of stuff, the market's always going to be there for more lighthearted Batman stuff.
Yeah, I read a little bit from one of the little Gotham that you left. That was really cute.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're doing stuff like that. I think it's very interesting, and DC probably didn't take it this way, but I think it's very interesting that they intended to only do that digitally. And that it sold so much digitally that they felt obligated to print it to try to make more money.
Yeah.
Number one, I think that's a good business model. That I think they ought to do more of these books that don't sell very well digitally. Maybe even offer them less than their other digital properties to see if people will start read them. And then maybe print them if they pick up on that. But I also think that's interesting that that's the kind of thing that they'll let somebody do and not care how it does. But they're printing just absolute garbage and putting it on the shelf every month.
Yeah.
DC has a very bad reputation, I think, right now for not wanting to do anything fun. If you look at all of their kids' books, they're all gone. Some of them were Eisner Award-winning kids' books. And you look at, like, all of their teen books and stuff like that, there's no comedy or fun in any of that. It's all angst and crap. DC is not writing fun, funny books at the moment. And they don't have, you know, the comics don't have to be that. But shouldn't that be some of your selection?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think something that a lot of, like, writers and creators lose sight of is, you know, how old were you when you first got into comics?
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's like as a small child, like from the cartoons that brought you to the comics. So, you know, if you're trying to introduce a kid to the comics, you know, they're really into Batman because they see it on TV, the cartoon. And then you bring them to the comics and they see, you know, heads getting blown off and rape and murder and all that stuff. It's like.
And even with adults, I mean, you know. And if you compare it to, like, television, if every television network that you got access to was nothing but our dramas, you'd stop watching television. You know, you need to have some sitcoms and some other things in there. I don't think there's any sitcoms at DC right now There's some independent comics that are fun, that are just fun comics. And Marvel's probably got a couple thrown in there, but Marvel's, I don't want to make it seem like I think I'm absolving Marvel of that problem. But man, you know, a couple of years ago, we had Tiny Titans, and we had
Supergirl in 8th grade.
Supergirl in 8th grade. We had the Thor book by Langridge.
Captain America had one.
All of the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, all of the DC, Disney books that Boom was doing with the Muppets and things like that.
Yep.
And I realized that none of that stuff, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that all that stuff was blockbuster stuff, but it's nice to have that on the shelves, and I think people were buying them, you know.
Well, it's hard to sell a kid's book in a market where the target demographic is 35 to 41 years old. The way I looked at those kid books, I look at that as investing in the medium. Because I'm not going to be here in 30, 40 more years reading fucking comic books.
We're working on
somebody's got to take my place. There needs to be a kid that comes in and picks up a book that's accessible to them, that's okay for them to read with their parents, that gets them turned on to the characters and gets them interested in the medium, so it continues on. It's investing in the future of the medium, and I think they're making a mistake. The other thing, going back to Batman 66, that I think is interesting, is that the original Batman TV show almost killed the comics because it was all so the comic was silly and the TV show was silly, and it was, you know, wasn't until, you know, people consider Dark Knight Returns as the point where people realize that Batman could be scary and serious again. And now we've gotten to a point where Batman is serious, it's serious, and people are fucking dying, and we've had, like, a, you know, our second fucking kid get killed, you know, and now it's so switched.
Still pissed about that, Grant Morrison.
So now it's so switched off that now everybody's like, oh, it's Batman being silly again. It's just the wheel continues to turn. It's just interesting that that's what we've come back to.
I think part of the problem is that we always get, like, an overreaction. Like, and I think, If more people in charge, instead of trying to hit whatever's hot and then hammer the shit out of it until it's not hot anymore, if everybody realized that, hey, there needs to be a balance. Like, there is room for fun Batman and there's room for serious Batman.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not a horror movie fan, but, you know, after talking to Steve Niles a couple of times, I really wanted Christopher Nolan to do a Batman horror movie. Because talking with Steve about it, it's like, well, you know, they could do this character and they could do this character and really make it scary, like an old school horror movie kind of a thing. So there's room for all sorts of stuff. And I think there's plenty of characters that there's room for, really not just kid related, but just fun characters and stuff. Like, I don't think Tiny Titans is obviously for kids, but, you know, Danny, you sat in the kids panel that I did at Heroes Con a couple of years ago with Franco from Tiny Titans.
Mm-hmm.
There were kids in there, but there were also a bunch of adults who wanted to ask questions about their favorite kid style book. You know, because I think adults want fun too.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably adults that were turned off by how depressing some of these books are getting. I mean, it's great. You know, I'll think back to there was a book called The Authority in the 90s. It was a great book. And it was interesting to see superheroes tackling something that was, you know, these complex issues and dealing with these big problems and everything. But after a while, it was like, oh my God, somebody crack a smile or do something. You know, and it just...
Mark Millar likes things to be killy and rapey.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Authority was fantastic. It was a fantastic book. You know, you've got Mark Millar, you've got Brian Hitch. I mean, you know, there's not much wrong in that equation. But there's not, you know, and while there was humor in some of those books, it was very dark humor. And it wasn't, you know, lighthearted, happy. Like, there was never a point where I got done reading, like, an issue of Authority where I went, oh, that was fucking awesome. I feel great. I want to kill somebody.
I think that to a certain extent, though, that the way comics have geared, like, gone to a more serious tone again is kind of posery. Like, they looked at stuff like Preacher and they looked at stuff like Authority. And, like, we need to be more serious and more harsh. And look at all, and Wanted, and Kick-Ass, and things like that. We need to be more like that, because that's what people want. But they're doing it all, like, in half measures and being posery about it, instead of actually committing to anything.
Well, it's a reflection of the times.
Like, everything that happens is just going to be redone again in 6 months. And when shit happened in those other books, because they had true creative freedom, that it was a lasting thing. And Marvel and DC, when they try to be so heavy with everything... It loses its punch. It's like open palm slapping somebody instead of punching them. Yeah, it's still going to hurt, but you're probably still going to have your teeth. Or if you're Anderson Silva, just lay there.
That Matrix move did not work out very well for him.
I wish that there was more space for cheery stuff. Like, I miss the Muppet books.
Yeah.
And I miss Tiny Titans and stuff like that.
Dude, read FF.
And Marvel
God,
does
what a
not
fun
have...
Book.
Yeah, really?
Marvel and DC aren't paying enough attention to that kind of stuff.
Matt Fraction and Mike Allred. Oh my God,
see,
that
yeah,
book is
I
so
read
much
FF.
Fun.
I thought about it. I mean,
see,
it
that's
looks
another,
so fun.
That's another, like, really indie book.
A really indie feeling book, but it's really good. Daredevil's a really, I mean, there's some serious things that go on in Daredevil, but Daredevil's not an over, you know, one of the characters has got, you know, it's coming down with the big C, and it's not
cookies.
Yeah.
Cookies, yes, he came down with the cookies.
I was gonna...
So the Cookie Monster is in Marvel.
He is. Well, his name is Foggy Nelson in Marvel. But I mean, it's
but Foggy cancer.
Yeah, Foggy's got cancer.
Yeah,
serious.
But it's not depressing. I mean, Foggy's being upbeat, and you know, they're dealing with it's. Of course, it's Mark Waid who's writing the book. Yeah. So, you know, there are not all the stuff that's out now that the big two are doing are Guardians of the Galaxy. The first three or four issues of that have been, you know, they've been really fun. I like Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, I'm the one of four people in the
who
planet that actually yeah, that actually was like Star-Lord.
Only thing I know about Guardians of the Galaxy is Benicio del Toro
as the collector.
It's
I'm down for that. And I'm down for Karen Gillan as Nebula.
And Chris Pine, is it Pine? No, Chris Pratt is looking ripped
for Star-Lord.
To be Star-Lord, which he didn't need to be ripped for Star-Lord.
Chunky boys unite.
But I guess he was kind of... Well, he's not chunky anymore.
He was. He's always chunky. You're always chunky to me, Chris Pratt.
Always be chunky.
You'll always be chunky to me.
But speaking of how indie a couple of those books at Marvel is, that's kind of surprising to me to a certain extent when you had... Image had their big expo thing, which was kind of a cool thing for them to do in general. To have like a big media event to announce a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you have all these, it was interesting to me because number one, we're in convention season and you have all these big conventions, but you know, you're fighting for spotlight and Marvel and DC will kind of, and movies and shit like that.
Will kind of overshadow everything.
So they had their own event, which is the first time I ever remember Image doing this. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of really big stuff with really big names to announce. And what really struck me is like, I'm just, without talking about the specific books yet, I'm just going to read off some of the names of the people that are going to be doing stuff for them. You have JMS. You have Rick Remender. You have Mark Millar. You have Darren Aronofsky. You have Matt Fraction. You have Jason Aaron, Jason Latour. You have Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting. Kirkman, obviously. And then some other artists that aren't as big a hitters as those are.
Lots of writers.
But that is really heavy names getting announced for big books at Image upcoming. And some of them are heavy Marvel guys that are writing several Marvel books right now that Marvel, you know, it's in the stupid house ads where they're all wearing fucking sweaters.
Yeah.
What was that called?
The Architects.
The Architects. Marvel's Architects are all doing these books for Image. And to me, that just kind of put a light bulb over my head that what happened to Icon at Marvel, because Bendis is never putting powers out, or at least not on time. I haven't seen Brubaker do anything with them since Fatal, I guess.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything else announced for Icon. And my thought when they announced Icon was that, not that it was going to be their Vertigo necessarily, but that it was their attempt to try to lock in the indie guys that they wanted by giving them a bone. Here, you can do your interesting little thing on the side for us, but stay in-house because we have you doing all this other stuff. And apparently that has either was not a good enough deal for them or has dissolved to where Marvel doesn't have the interest to the point where all of these guys are going back to Image to do stuff. And that seems really interesting to me that Marvel wouldn't try to secure them a little more. And I wonder if that's a corporate thing, you know, because Disney could probably give a crap about any of these books. But also, like, I'd be interested to talk off mic to a creator, like, why did this happen instead? Maybe Icon wasn't a good enough deal for them. Like maybe Brubaker, like, you know, his new book, maybe he didn't like. I heard particularly with his new book that he didn't want to put it with Icon, but I don't have any proof with that. But maybe Icon wasn't a good enough deal for them, that they decided that they would rather take Image's deal and do something independent, even though that they're, you know, somebody that Marvel's quote unquote counting on. That just seemed really odd to me because it seemed like DC has become a kind of cesspool of creator unrest, where if you're not four or five guys, the only thing that you talk about your book is publicly bashing your editor. And Marvel was more like, hey, we've got all these cool writer guys. You know, we've got all the indie guys that you want to read, you know, and now they're writing Avengers and Wolverine books. I don't think these indie books would necessarily sell the same as their Marvel books, but that's a really big push for Image to get all those big names kind of back in the fold.
I think it's awesome to see Image finally becoming, finally being what they wanted to be when they started the company in the 90s. They wanted it to be a place where creators could go and put their books out and put out good stuff. And for a while, Image was a fucking joke. Image was a joke, you know, and whether or not you want to...
Image started off as everything bad about the 90s.
Exactly. It started off as a joke and didn't get any better. And whether or not you want to give him all the credit or some of the credit or mention his name in a footnote, Robert Kirkman had a ton to do with giving that place legitimacy. Giving them, you know, showing them that, you know, we're more than spandex, we can do other things, this medium can do other things, to such an extent that even the founding partners were like, we need to lock this motherfucker up.
Yeah.
We need to get this guy in our corner fast.
That's probably
we're going to make him a founding partner, and he didn't come along until 20 years after we founded this company.
Business-wise, that's probably the best move Image has
absolutely
ever made,
man.
Is locking his ass down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because he could be doing the same thing as these other guys where... Here, I'll do my interesting, you know, indie book over here at Image, and I'm also writing Spider-Man.
You know what the difference between Brian Michael Bendis and Robert Kirkman, or the difference between Robert Kirkman and Grant Morrison or whoever, is the fact that those guys are not locked down. They've been popping around all over the place, and Kirkman's like, I'm doing one fucking thing, and I'm going to kill it every month. Every month when I do it, I'm going to kill it.
I guarantee you that.
Literally.
I guarantee you.
Literally and figuratively. I will kill it every month. And then goes off and makes this. You're talking about a guy that can go and make a book like Walking Dead, which, you know, someone dies gruesomely like every four panels, and he's the same guy who's writing fucking Super Dinosaur, yeah, which is probably the most fun all ages book I've read in the past 15 years.
Oh, really? He's covering the three essential bases. He's got the horror, sci-fi, realistic type book. He's doing a youth oriented all ages book, and he's doing a Capes and Tights book. I guarantee you that
Thief of Thieves.
I forgot about that. His success, I guarantee you, has more Hollywood eyes on Image. And I wonder if any of that has to do with these guys going, hey, they love the shit out of Walking Dead and Robert Kirkman. If they're going to pay attention to Image, and I have this book that I think could be a Hollywood property, why would I want to do it anywhere but Image?
Fraction and Hickman are already writing for TV shows. They're writing, there's a show on Starz called Da Vinci's Demons. Fraction and Hickman are already writing episodes for Da Vinci's Demons. So I don't think you're too far off the mark. I think that both those guys realize that they have things they want to tell. They have stories they want to do. Hollywood is receptive to that sort of thing right now.
Yeah.
And they need to, you know, they need to jump on it.
And I mean, let's not kid ourselves. A Hollywood executive producer or writing credit for a, you know, for Hollywood TV shows is a better paying gig than comic book writer. You know, when's the last time Jeff Loeb wrote a comic book? He doesn't need to. He just does TV shit now.
He just ruins TV shows. I mean, writes TV shows.
Some of us comic book related TV stuff, but that's still a TV job.
He's writing Nova, isn't he?
Yes, he is writing Nova.
Then I was completely incorrect.
Well, I mean, you know, but who knows how long? Who knows how long he's been working on
Thanks,
Nova?
Thanks, Shaka.
You're welcome.
All right, let's take a look at a couple of these books that Image announced. The first one that I was really interested in is Black Science. And that's by Rick Remender and Matteo Scalaria.
Whoa.
Which I may or may not
pronounce. Holy crap, Matteo Scalera.
they did Secret. They are a team for Secret Avengers, but Black Science is a in continuity fear agent book that's going to deal with
Adam just peed on himself.
Remender is calling it a spiritual successor to Fear Agent. If you look at the preview images, the characters are wearing like the Fear Agent gear. It's not going to be about Heath Hudson at all, but it's another chapter in that kind of mythology and that kind of storytelling. And as I probably said way too much on this podcast, I love the shit out of Fear Agent.
Matteo Scalera is a phenomenal artist.
So I cannot wait for that book. It's going to start in November.
That Remender guy's okay too.
Another thing from Remender, who has two, despite all the crap he's writing for Marvel, well, not all the crap he's writing for Marvel, all the good stuff he's writing for Marvel, he's got another Image book with Wes Craig that's called Deadly Class. And this is basically, it's kind of like a school for teenage assassins. And it's writing about
teenagers. Oh, I see what they did there with the title. Gotcha.
And
class.
It's,
like school class. It's good.
Deadly
and
Class.
And the series is starting back in 1987. and will move forward through different time periods with different classes.
It's Assassin Hogwarts.
Ooh. So I don't know if that's going to make it like a continuing period piece where it's, you know, 1 6-issue arc will be very 90s and 1 6-issue arc will be very 80s, or how that's going to go. But just having him attached it makes me interested. Everybody's favorite Mark Millar is doing a book called MPH.
Neil Patrick Harris?
MPH.
I wish.
Dude, I would buy the shit out of that book.
It's going to be legend. Wait for it.
He is, well, it said, you know, this is Millar, and he says
hold on to something, folks.
He says something to the effect, you know, it's like Jupiter's like Legacy, which has just started, and that I don't know if anybody else besides him has compared Jupiter's Legacy to Watchmen.
No.
But apparently he is.
No.
No.
And
as in, like, there are old superheroes and then new superheroes, yes. Maybe, but it's not then like yes. Watchmen at all.
He is comparing launching this book as if he was creating his own 21st century Marvel Universe.
Oh, well, okay.
And that this would be like his Fantastic Four for a new contemporary Marvel Universe.
Like okay. The ultimate
Sean universe? Is making a wanking notion, and I agree.
Yes, yes. That's a lot of dick stroking right there.
Not just because I make that anytime somebody says anything involving him.
Reinventing whatever. But,
reinventing. I'm going to reinvent the wheel. Is it round? Does it roll? You didn't reinvent anything.
Now,
it's square. It's a fucking wheel. You can't really drive on it.
Hollywood darling Darren Aronofsky is going to be doing an Image book that he's co-writing with Ari Handel, which I don't know who that is.
Me either.
And the artist is Nico...
Case.
Henrikon?
Rosberg?
So I'm probably butchering these names. But it's supposed to be a book that the Nico guy is the guy who did the Pride of Baghdad with
oh shit
who did Baghdad
Pride of Baghdad
Brian K. Vaughn.
They're both Brian's yeah. So he's a really good artist and basically it looks like this is an adaptation to a Noah graphic novel from France.
Okay.
And that this is a translation. So maybe the guy that he's co-writing with is the original writer, and Aronofsky is helping him bring it.
What is it on now? Did you say it was Noah?
Noah.
Well, Aronofsky is doing a movie of Noah with Russell Crowe as Noah.
It doesn't say that it's an adaptation of that. It just says it's an adaptation
of the last thing I heard was Aronofsky was doing a flood movie. You know, it's disaster porn, only it's got Jesus in it. Kind of, sort of.
The Bible is my favorite disaster porn.
That's right.
Noah came before Jesus, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of got Jesus in it. It's God, Jesus, the same guy, right?
Yeah, well.
Well, God's in it, so then Jesus is in it.
Okay.
Now, a guy that we started this kind of transition.
Speaking of Jesus, talking
about his indie.
And God.
His indie-ish Marvel books. So we said Matt Fraction was writing kind of indie books for Marvel. Well, he's also got an Image book. Which he's already doing Satellite Sam with Chaykin.
And something else.
And
too.
Sex Criminals.
There you go.
Which you had me at the title. The name of the book is Odyssey, but it's ODY-C. Because, you know, it's also a rap group, maybe.
Like Jodeci?
And basically, they're billing it as a futuristic reimagining of the Homer's Odyssey. And the artist is Christian Ward.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not super familiar with him.
He did the book with Nathan Emmonson, Olympus.
Didn't they already do Infinite Horizon?
Adam poses a question.
Well,
didn't
Phil
they
Noto
do
did.
Infinite
right, but
Horizon.
But that was the Odyssey, wasn't it?
Was it right. Infinite Horizon?
It says
we can't hear you. You don't have a mic.
Adam mentioned that there's been an Image book called Infinite Horizon, which Gary Duggan and Phil Noto did. It was also inspired by the Odyssey. The Image notes. Says that, but it says that there is a different.
It's called Matt Fraction.
It's different. It's different, guys. It's different.
It's trust us. It's public domain. We can do another book. It's not a problem.
A book that really interested me, also coming out of this with two Marvel guys, is Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are teaming up to do a book called Southern Bastards.
Ooh,
which is certainly not a book that Marvel would do.
Because they're smoking in it.
Jason Aaron himself described this book as the Untouchables versus Boss Hogg. And in the press for this, Latour and Aaron both mentioned Dukes of Hazzard as an inspiration. Just based off on that and the fact that both of these guys are Southern bastards themselves.
And they're both bald.
I say that well-meaning.
They're both bald Southern bastards.
That I'm really interested in that book. Like, yeah. I think that'll be really interesting. And, you know, Aaron is, Latour can certainly draw that style. It's also going to have a lot to do with high school football. And it's set in Alabama, and it's got to do with high school football.
Friday Night Lights.
Well, I mean, if it's set in Alabama, it's kind of have to.
Yeah, it's either that or Forrest Gump. But I think that book sounds really interesting, them doing that. You know, like, if you like Jason Aaron's scalp stuff, you know that Dirty Crime is certainly right up his alley.
I have never read Scalped.
It is awesome.
Son of a, you're hurting the Native Americans even more by not reading.
I'm sorry. At least I was brave enough to brave.
It's a very hard
wow. brave enough to say it.
Devin let me borrow the beginning of that book, and I really fought through it because it is hard to get into, and it's a very brutal. It's
just
not
like my
a
senior
book.
Prom.
Yay!
Ooh, ooh.
But then I eventually read the rest of it at the store I was working at, and it's a really good book. It's not a fun read. It's pretty brutal. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun crime stuff like Criminals are more. Criminals also very dark, but it's more peppy.
Thief of Thieves.
It's fun more, kind
it's
of
more,
thing.
Criminal is more peppy. I mean, wow, Scalped. You're really selling Scalped, man.
Scalped is like getting kicked in the balls a lot. So I love it. I usually have to pay for that kind of thing. I guess technically you're paying for it if you buy a comic. Anyway, moving on. Another one that was really interesting to me is the Captain America reboot team from 2005. Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting are teaming up for a book called Velvet, which is supposed to be kind of a James Bond, except if Miss Moneypenny was kind of the heroine instead of James Bond.
Isn't she, though?
I don't know. There was... I can't name any heroines. I can't name any Miss Moneypennies, but I can name all the James Bonds.
Okay, fine.
And supposedly these guys have been wanting to do this since Brubaker pitched it to Epting back when they were doing Captain America. So some of the look and feel of that Steve Epting era of artwork and some of the look and feel of the spy stuff that they had with their Captain America run would be influenced by that, and they've been waiting for... They didn't want to do it at Icon, didn't want to do it at Marvel, or Marvel didn't want them to, and they've been waiting for Epting's exclusive to run out, yeah. Which it has, which was also a newsflash for me. That one's going to come out in October, and I've already seen ads in comic book stores for it, which is cool. Kirkman is doing another Walking Dead book. It's going to have a spinoff called All Out War. The last one that was really big announcement was a book called Alone. And that is JMS and Bill Sieninski?
Sienkiewicz?
Sure, that too.
And so I missed the Walking Dead one.
It's like
Walking Dead.
Novel, right?
It's just another Walking Dead book. It's an offshoot called All Out War.
Just oh, another
really?
Cast?
Like an ongoing?
Even walkier.
Even deader.
Okay.
Walking Dead is going to be, for this, the All Out War thing is...
It's a crossover.
It's a Walking Dead first event. And it will be shipping, it won't be splitting into two titles, but it'll be shipping bi-weekly for this. And additional artists are being brought in to do the additional work.
So this issue, everybody dies.
And supposedly with All Out War, this is going to start, for the first time, Walking Dead is going to be focusing on what if people started to try to build a civilization again.
God, it only took 140 episodes.
Obviously, the bone of contention is if you try to start to be organized again... Exactly who gets to be in charge.
Did you hear that they're going to redo issue number one in color?
Why?
Because people will buy it.
Yeah, because people will buy it.
But the,
it's the same reason they started running the TV episodes in black and white.
The Straczynski book doesn't really give any details about what it's going to be.
Straczynski should do that book by himself because it's called Alone.
yikes. Can he draw? Does anybody have any thoughts on that kind of stuff? That seemed like a really big boom for Image, that those are really big name guys who are doing really big stuff elsewhere, that they got to come in house to do their stuff.
I think it's incredibly telling that of the strength of Image as a company right now, where they can just put on their own fucking convention and say, oh yeah, by the way, we're taking like 75% of Marvel's top writers and they're going to come work for us now. That's
a lot of stuff huge. To just yeah. announce. Like, that's like a year's worth of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really hoping that we're getting to a point of some of the let's just do the same old thing at Marvel and DC. I'm really hoping at some point that people are going to stop buying 12 X-Men books a month and 6 Avengers books a month and 6 Batman books a month. And that if the publishers want to produce that if they're damned and determined that they're going to produce X amount of titles, that they will decide to do some other things because people have stopped, that they're buying the one good Batman book.
Yeah.
Or they're buying the two good Avengers books and they're not buying the other one.
It hasn't stopped them before. I mean, they've had issues. Think about the 90s when all the creators left from Marvel.
But I think some of this is pretty new though. Like it seems to me when I look at the comic book listings for every month, it seems to me like Marvel and DC have kind of given up. And not given up making money.
Well, look who's running DC. Didio's running DC.
Up doing anything outside of the, like, I don't ever remember there being 12 Avengers books until the last decade.
Yeah, but they're being written by Jonathan Hickman, for God's sakes.
There used to be two. Well, that's part of the problem.
What? Those are awesome.
Like, I remember when I, head it shake. Like when I was a kid, we had Avengers and West Coast Avengers.
West Coast?
And West Coast Avengers was considered a big risk.
And they were feuding.
Yeah. And then you had, you know, one Teen Titans book. And you had Justice League and you had Justice Society, but they weren't the same thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just, we'll have three Justice League books.
I mean, did you see the solicits for DC for like October? They're doing like weekly comics and it's all villains.
Villains United.
Oh, and man, it's like point one, point two, point three. I was like, that's how is anyone supposed to keep up with that?
And they don't care if you keep up with it. People, they just want you to buy it. As long as they get their $3.99, they don't care.
I wish that people would start to revolt and not buy, you know, like Batman. If you subscribe to Batman, there's Batman .1, there's .1, .2, .3, .4 for that month. You get an issue of your Batman title. Whoever started the .1s, I wanted to take out back and shoot them.
It was Marvel.
Because now that's a thing with both companies.
Yeah.
But I wish that more readers would start revolting over stuff like that. Like that should, instead of being excited, that should kind of piss you off when you see those solicitations.
Well, Marvel said when Marvel started the .1, they said, okay, the .1 is going to be a significant event. There's going to be an event that's going to happen that's going to necessitate this. It's going to be, and they, what they kind of intoned that it was, I think one of the first ones I remember was X-Force. It was a .1 for X-Force. I think it was 5, and then there was 5.1. And they had just finished up, like, you know, you okay? Sorry, John's choking to death. And it was supposed to be like, you know, the .1 was supposed to be something major was going to change. And they actually even put out a book, Marvel put out a book called .1, which kind of laid out where they were.
It was a preview book for stuff.
It was a preview book for where they were going to go. For 2 more years because Nova's in it. Nova was in it like 2 years ago and Nova didn't show up until this year. So if that's what they want to do with those .1 books, I'm okay with them. But if they just start making, you know, Superior Spider-Man 16.1, Superior Spider-Man, Octavius in Spider-Man's body continues to think dirty thoughts about Mary Jane and pleasure himself while he's in the shower, I really don't want to hear that.
What, anybody got that issue?
God, that's horrible.
No, but I want it.
Horrible.
Did that really happen?
No.
The first issue of Superior Spider-Man was great. The second issue of Superior Spider-Man, Octavius decided he wanted to bone Mary Jane.
Wow.
And so he kept trying to bone Mary Jane, and he kept failing. And he's like, well, I don't know why I'm bothering, because I have all that knowledge up here in Peter's brain. So basically...
He's got Spank Bank.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Pete's nice. In there going, dude, do not do this. This is private. And it was so bad, I don't even care how awesome the first issue was. I'm not reading it anymore.
That's
so crazy. He decided instead of trying...
He was just going to jerk off.
That he could just use his memories and that was better. That's like a meta statement on internet culture. That I would rather watch porn on the internet than go out and try to meet a girl to have actual sex. That's kind of meta.
See, what really should have happened, what really should have happened is because Octavius was trying to adjust to Peter's powers, he should have pulled his own penis off with his spider strength. And then I would have been like, yeah, that'd have been awesome. That's what should have happened. Because, I mean, think about it. You know, he's not going to be used to doing that sort of thing with that body.
Well, you got to take it easy.
He's going to take it easy.
Wow,
he's got to pace himself.
We went off on a regular Dollar Ben-esque tangent.
You're welcome. Well, I am here.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Spider penis. It should hold on. Right?
Why else does Pete get chicks like he gets?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Adam just said, doesn't he have a spider penis, and wouldn't it hold up to the motion?
Penis.
Well, a spider-powered penis.
Is spider penis hyphenated or not hyphenated?
Yes, it is hyphenated.
Okay, it's hyphenated. Okay, I just want to check and make sure.
Always hyphenated. Always
I guess
hyphenated.
We could go to the Vivid XXX Spider-Man movie to answer all these questions. Have you been sent that one?
No.
to tie the mainstream stuff into the Image stuff that's interesting, is that Marvel and DC just seem to continuously be doing the same things because that's what they have confidence in that will sell. And that sometimes it's good quality because they have, both companies, despite their editorial problems, have good writers and artists. So they're going to produce some good stuff. But it seems like that's the standout and everything else is just kind of the same old thing. Like, which crappy Avengers book do you choose? Which crappy X-Men book do you choose? Which crappy Batman book do you choose? Like, that October thing, if I was still a retailer, that the October's previews would have pissed me off.
Yeah.
And as a shopper, if I was still buying monthly comics.
Well, they've done this villain things before. It was Villains United, and they did it in, like, the 2000s, and it was fucking horrible. They've done it already.
I don't know. I keep waiting for event fatigue. I think every time there's big events and crossovers, everybody always says, and I think we said it on this podcast 900 times, that there's going to be event fatigue. Where's the event fatigue? People are getting tired of this. But it seems like it gets worse every year, not scaled back. So when is the event fatigue going to show up? When is the same old stuff going to show up?
When it stops selling, which won't happen.
Man, doesn't it have
if people
to
just stopped buying it, it would
well,
stop.
I mean, think about how fucking lazy Ultron, Age of Ultron has been.
Well, it's already been, they had to rewrite it because they released it so long, and all they did was replace some of the artwork.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole thing, it's like, you know, Tuesday, everything's fine. Wednesday, everything's fucked up. And they don't tell you how everything got fucked up until during the course of the story, which then, of course, changes. So if it all changed, it never happened to begin with. So you're in a story that never fucking happened to begin with.
And my biggest,
it's like, what the fuck? I'm confused already, and I'm only 8 issues into this son of a bitch.
My biggest problem with some of this stuff, too, is that it's all so much filler.
Like, Wolverine kills himself, like, twice or some shit? I don't even know.
What's worse than it being filler is that it's less filler than you're used to getting. Like, you're only getting 20 or 22 pages a comic now, this story. And you read a 7-issue miniseries or whatever that's supposed to be this big event where everything's huge. And when you read it, you feel like it could have been played, it could have been told in 4 issues. So, like, you paid for 3 issues you didn't need, despite the fact that they're already skimping you on how many pages you're getting to begin with. I'm just waiting for the revolt over that.
I stopped buying all that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I don't keep up with any of the events at all.
Or they do the opposite. The opposite, like with Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion built and built and built and built and built, and it was like, this is fantastic. And then, like, the last 3 issues, it was like somebody realized, oh shit, we're only doing 8 issues on this. We've got like 6 more issues worth of stuff we've got to, like, jam in. So it was like everything, you know, everything went in. So I don't think it's going to come. I don't think that the event withdrawal is going to come. I honestly don't, because people enjoy watching guys in spandex punch each other in the face.
Yeah, but you can get that without the event.
But
yeah,
but
it's a bigger
matter.
Story. It's a bigger story.
See, that kills me too, is that people, it bothers me 2 ways. It bothers me, number one, that the people who are creating it think that it'll still matter. Because they already know how they're going to unwrite. They already know that they killed Jean Grey, but Bendis wants to use her next month. You know, so that's not going to matter or whatever. But also the people, you know, like, to use Danny and I as the example.
Oh hell,
been reading for 30 years or whatever. We know from having read that the shit doesn't matter anymore. That anybody that dies or anything that happens to anybody, that none of it's really going to matter, and it'll be redone or undone or whatever. And there's similar people to that. And if it's not 30 years, it's still, you know, if continuity matters to you, it's still 5 years. It's still 10 years. It's still whatever. Why do people keep coming back thinking that stuff's going to matter?
Yeah, spoiler alert, when Captain America dies and Bucky takes over, that's not the first time that Captain America wasn't Captain America.
But you know
it
what?
It happened before.
To me, that's a perfect example of something working and the company deciding that even though this is working, we're going to undo it for the hell of it. The examples that I'll give, because they were so tied together, is you had Captain America die and Batman die, both with time bullets.
Time bullets!
At a similar time, and they were both replaced by protégés.
Time bullets.
Who were very popular.
Mazda protégés?
Comics were very popular with them in the costume. And instead of riding it out, they just did what they already had planned to bring. Like, instead of actually being creative.
Movies.
Instead of actually
Captain America
stories,
had that movie.
Movies. Yeah. Both those guys had movies coming out. Both those guys had movies coming out.
But I don't
out.
Think it matters.
It matters.
Well, they think it does.
I don't think it matters, because when you go see those movies, you know, if you're a comic book retailer,
well, it doesn't matter to us because we know that those two things are separate things. But if you've got a kid who goes into the movie and they're looking, they see Bruce Wayne or they see Steve Rogers on screen and they come to the comic shop and Steve Rogers is fucking dead.
Well, first off,
Yeah, and as a retailer, you sell them Batman Year One.
First off, that mythological child doesn't go into the comic shop.
I was that kid.
You don't sell the kids, but you sell like the people like Batman Year One or the kids. You haven't been that kid, did you? You don't sell them on modern continuity, like, oh, this one just came out. You're not going to sell them on that. You're going to sell them on, like, a trade.
Yeah, and
trades are hard to sell to people if they've never read comics before. And they, no, you know,
not.
$4.
It's easier because it's a book.
It's a whole story.
$4 as opposed to $17 or $18.
This is a whole story.
Might be 20 bucks.
And chances are they're used to buying, like, novels that are, like, 30 bucks.
But also the... 30 bucks. The stuff that the stores are selling, there is no Christopher Nolan Batman in printed form to give somebody who liked the Nolan movies. You're making branches of like, what did you like about that movie? Okay, maybe you'll like this story. What did you like about? Or maybe you'll like this story. Are you just like the Joker? Here's the Killing Joke. The Captain America. What are you giving them? Like the, you know, if you give them the really old school Captain America stuff, they won't like it because a lot of it doesn't hold up well. And you can't really give them the Brubaker stuff because that's way more serious than the Captain America movie was. And the Avengers. What do you give somebody who loved the Avengers?
Give them all of it.
I mean, the Kree Skull War? Or
If the stores got them, because they don't keep them in print. Yeah. It's not like you can't go to a trade and get that. Yeah. I would take kids that wanted, that came in, that had seen Iron Man or seen Thor or whatever, I'd send them to the Marvel Essentials because they're basically kid friendly.
They're not going to want black and white books.
Depending on the age of the kid, if the kid is young enough, the kid, you don't have to worry about if they're all basically all ages books because of the comics code, and the kid can color in them. They're coloring books.
But again, we're making the amount of people you need to have that conversation with based on the movie money is really small. I
will concede that.
I worked at a comic book store for multiple of those big-ass movies to come out. And the amount of people that came in because of the movie, as a non-comic book reader, I could probably count without having to take my socks off.
I wish you would.
But they weren't kids, were they?
No.
And probably they weren't kids either.
There were a fair amount of kids that I had, and I would, like, hear all the kids' books. Here's this kid thing.
You're also the store you worked at was also a super duper kid friendly store.
Yeah,
Borderlands had the same thing. When I was helping Rob, when some of these movies are coming out, Borderlands would have the same. They'd have the same thing. Have kids coming in. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, plethora of kids, and
like
it wasn't
five
like
or
a,
six a week.
It wasn't like, you know, Black Friday where they beating the doors down. But I mean, it was it was four or five kids a week would come in that had seen Iron Man or Thor or Captain America, and they wanted to read the books.
Well, that's awesome. But but it seems to me from my experience and what I read other retailers say that's not the norm. The kids aren't flocking in for comic book stuff. And, you know, and also, like, I don't give Marvel and DC a hell of a lot of credit when it comes to having stuff, having evergreen stuff when movies are coming out. Because, again, DC is the company that put ads for the Green Lantern movie on the cover of Green Lantern Corps. Like, think about that as a marketing ploy. There's nobody who's reading fucking Green Lantern Corps that needs to be reminded Green Lantern's coming out that week. But that was their idea for advertising, for putting ads on their comic books that comic book has a movie.
They put it on all of them.
Well, you got that Beware the Batman cartoon that just came out or is coming out. It's on the back of a lot of this stuff. I had no idea.
Damn. But in that movie, like if you picked up Green Lantern Corps, I'm pretty sure you knew Green Lantern was coming out that week. Yeah. If you picked up Action Comics, if you're reading Action Comics,
right,
you're pretty sure Man of Steel was debuting that week. And that's Warner Brothers' ideas for marketing.
Okay.
You know, Warner Brothers had Warner Brothers' only comic that was in the Nolanverse that they produced at all was they produced a Batman Begins movie adaptation to go with DVDs. And they produced that Joker graphic novel by Azzarello and what's his name. That's the only thing that they've done for tie-ins for any of the three Nolan movies, and they did nothing for Man of Steel. For the free comics that they gave out to promote Man of Steel, they gave out comics that are no longer in continuity. Warner Bros. Did such a shitty job at Free Comic Book Day this year. They gave away old Superman comic, despite the fact that Superman was their biggest movie of the summer, and it was the beginning of the Richard Donner, Jeff Johns Superman story.
Yeah.
That's what they gave out.
That not only way underperformed, it's also not in their current fucking continuity. And that was their free comic book day book.
What?
And then they gave away another Superman book for Superman Week or whatever, or Man of Steel Week or whatever. And it was like some Jim Lee Superman book. It's also no longer in continuity and not the title you're currently pushing.
Yeah. They don't do anything for Superman Unchained. They didn't do anything for Superman Unchained, the Snyder Jim Lee book that was coming out like four or five months later. Yeah. But I mean they're Warner Brothers. They've been shooting themselves in the foot as far as their movies have been concerned for the last 10 years.
But I don't think like Marvel.
That's why we have an Avengers movie and we're rebooting Batman or Superman for the third fucking time.
Yeah, but those ads didn't cost them anything.
What was Superman Chained to?
So it's kind of ad revenue. Well, yeah, I mean, maybe they didn't get paid, but their chances are, have you seen the ads that are in the books? They're not getting paid for those ads anyway, because they're all in-house ads. So you slap a thing on there, and you're like, hey, maybe.
So they're getting paid for them. They're getting paid through different divisions. Different divisions, I mean, like, you know, they're saying, okay.
Money changes hands inside the corporation. Yeah, but
it's not like, you know, that they had to, like, really push. I mean, that's just a cheap way to advertise it to anybody in the comic book store, because it was all across those things. So I can see them doing that.
But I just, I think it's, I think it's, done, when know, that's what they do to push.
They could have done a lot more.
And you know, they give posters to the move, to comic book shops when movies are coming out, but no real advertisement.
Yeah.
Like a real advertisement is, or anything like to help the, you know, the, I've said this before on the show and I think sometimes people don't understand what I'm saying, but the comic book shop to the publishers is often more adversarial than you think it is. The comic book companies are not trying to help comic book stores. They're just holding them accountable for shit that they don't do that they want them to. And, you know, like, or it's a lot of half-assed measures. Like, they'll give you a movie poster to promote your movie, but they don't give you any sort of literature or any sort of help or any sort of reprinting of items that you could purchase that would be a good corollary to what they're showing on the big or small screen and what can sell in your store.
Yeah.
Valiant's doing that. Like Valiant is really supporting retailers.
Like, they don't give you that sort of assistance. Again, if you want your stuff to sell, if you want that store to promote your stuff, you need to.
You have to make sure that comic book stores can get it and not just big box retailers.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens a lot of times is that the, like, you know, Books A Million, whatever, will be able to get it from Diamond, and then comic stores can't.
And they don't see it enough. And even, you know, with Marvel, from a publishing standpoint, when some of their non-Marvel Studios movies have come out, they haven't sent you anything. And I understand that, you know, Fox doing X-Men First Class or doing a Wolverine movie is not putting the same amount of money in your pocket that Iron Man does. But you could still sell some fucking comics off of it.
Yeah.
And if you did some promotion that, like, hey, if people come in your store because they like the X-Men First Class, here's stuff in print that you can... Like, I'm not saying they launch an X-Men First Class book hoping that a movie with Kevin Bacon and Fassbender is gonna take off, but they could still see it as an opportunity. And I don't think Marvel or DC and their marketing companies, they do everything after the fact.
Can't do it after the fact because people don't buy it after the fact.
Well, it depends. Like collectibles wise, one of the biggest step forwards DC Direct has done this season is they are selling Arkham toy figures the same time the next game is coming out. Previously, they would wait to see if the game was popular and then start making figures. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it still works if the figure is good.
Yeah.
But as a retailer, how do you order action figures for a video game 6 months after the video game has been out? That's fucking difficult, especially when DC Direct announces that they have 4 waves of this action figure set. How the fuck do you plan to order for that?
Yeah.
At least this year, when they're doing, when Origins comes out, the figures will be out for the game. And that has nothing to do with fucking comics. But I also guarantee you the Arkham digital comic, based on the whole Arkham City verse from the last game, was so successful, I guarantee you there will be a digital Arkham Origins comic. And there should be. The Arkham digital comics did really well for them. But that kind of ass backwards marketing structure just kills me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really have anything to do with anything else we talked about.
So, are we wrapping this up?
Yeah. So, the Image stuff was really interesting.
Yeah.
George Perez signing exclusive with Boom is really interesting. What we did mention, Paul Jenkins is also doing stuff for Boom, and he very publicly declared he's never working for Marvel and DC again.
Wow. Well, that's probably a good thing.
And that's another big name creator who is
Sentry,
who is off to the independents. Maybe that's how the revolution starts.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
If you have some of these really big name creators kind of make some fart noises as they walk out the door about what was wrong and they go other places, I don't think that sales are going to immediately spike with some of these other companies. Like, it's going to take a lot more for all indie books to sell like all mainstream books will. But if you have enough creators say, man, enough of this stuff, I'm going over here to do something else, then maybe Marvel and DC starts to shrink and tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Any famous last words?
Don't text and drive.